Talking about that, you got the cross on your forearm, and this is from the Psalms, chapter 14, 29?
Yes, yeah. Yes. But I didn't stick with the Quran. That's the whole thing. Like, I was still, because I was more familiar with the Bible. You know, I always thought that was kind of strange that I had to confess my sins when I was 8 years old. Confess to another human. He had the Quran, and he showed me it. He's like, "You ever heard of the Quran?" I said, "Yeah, I've heard of it, but, you know." So I read part of it when I was in there, but it was just like a passing. Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
Dude, I love you very much. I'm looking forward to continuing.
Welcome to when the I Deen was ready show. To talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect show. I have for the faith the of Islam. Deen
Show. Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Looking forward to sharing your story. You can't take it with you when you go. Or you can't take this with you when you go. And you can't take this with you when you go. Brothers and sisters, we're all going to depart from this life. And all of our material possessions to our money will stay behind. But your reoccurring investment in the Deen Center will continue to grow even when you leave this life. So go ahead and make that reoccurring investment in a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit you in this life and in the next. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. I got a little of glimpses of it, and I wanted to have other people experience the joy that I was experienced listening to some of the things you were sharing with me. Yes. You weren't always Muslim.
No, no.
And you got tattoos actually to prove it.
Yes. Yes, I did.
We were talking about that. You got the cross on your forearm, and this is from the Psalms, chapter 14, 29?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Psalms 14, 29, slow to wrath, slow to get angry. I actually got this when I was in Pompano Beach, incarcerated. Mm-hmm. When I was, you know, that's when I really got, you know, in touch with a higher power, God. You know, and it was always God to me. It was always one God. I was raised Catholic in Catholicism when I was young. And I went to Catholic school. And it was always kind of a strange atmosphere, honestly. It was very militant and strict. And alhamdulillah, you know, my parents moved to Tampa. I was in Ohio when I was raised Catholic. My parents came to Tampa. My dad moved through his job, and that was a good thing for me because I got away from the Catholic school and the nuns and, you know, but I had gotten to a public school system where I had interacted with a lot of kids of different races, of different nationalities, and it was refreshing to me to get away from that, you know, and I always thought it was weird to pray or to confess sins in a confessional. You know, I always thought that was kind of strange that I had to confess my sins when I was 8 years old, which, you know, I don't think too many eight-year-olds do too many horrible things to confess sins, but I always thought it was kind of strange, you know.
So was that the red light? Was that the beginning stages of questioning when now you're a young boy, 8 years old, and you're saying to yourself, like, what did I do now as far as sins? I got to go confess my sins as an eight-year-old. That was the first red flag?
Yes. Yeah, I always thought that was strange. And then to confess to another human, another mortal, you know, which you go inside the confessional box and he asks you what you've done, you know, when's the last time you had your confession, when this and that. And being 8 years old, I'm thinking, man, I haven't really even done anything really that wrong that I... You know, as an eight-year-old boy, and then they tell you, do this, do that, you know, and do 10 Hail Marys, whatever, and that's like you said, that was like the first red flag for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you go back to your parents, to anybody else, and kind of talk about this, share some of your concerns?
Not really, because...
No, it just stuck with you. It was something that was...
Yeah, it was kind of... And my parents weren't, like, really hardcore about it.
Yeah.
You know, but they felt like... I'm sure they had good intentions, you know, and thought that, you know, I should go to this school because it's better education, yeah. maybe, you know. But, yeah, no, I just kind of went with it, you know. And when I moved to Florida in 1983... I was introduced to a public school system, and it was much easier for me. You know, that weight was off my shoulders, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we came here, we were still going to, you know, Catholic church, you know. But it wasn't anything like hardcore, like how it was being in a Catholic school and such, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah.
So then life goes on. I mean, mm-hmm. what's your... day-to-day life like? I mean, are you still thinking about church as you're growing older? Are you more committed, or are you going away from religion?
Pretty much going away from religion, but I always believed in God. You know, I always believed in God. There were points in my life when things would happen to me and go, man, why is this happening to me? You know, like a lot of people do. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Well, God works in mysterious ways, as we all know. You know, not as we all know, but as people with faith know,
yeah.
you know, God works in mysterious ways. And, you know, it really hit me when, you know, not too long ago, honestly, about 6 years ago, you know, I got into some, I got divorced from my first wife. I was away from my daughter. And, you know, I tried to have a relationship with her, but after I got divorced, I was looking for another relationship. And, I wasn't following the correct path. I made some bad decisions. You know, I got... in a relationship with a woman that, you know, I probably shouldn't have been in a relationship with, and got into some things that were bad. Ended up getting, incarcerated in South Florida, and, and that's when I really, when I was incarcerated, that's when I really, you know, got a reality check. You know, God put me in that place for a reason, you know, to reflect on, you know, my faults, the things that I've done bad. You know, I took it as a blessing. You know, and I was reading the Bible a lot when I was in there. And the ironic thing about it was, I met a gentleman down there that was a Muslim. I don't know how serious of a Muslim he was. He had the Quran, and he showed me it. He's like, "You ever heard of the Quran?" I said, "Yeah, I've heard of it." But, you know, so I read part of it when I was in there, but it was just like a passing. You know, it was just like a passing thing, but I found it very interesting. You know, he didn't explain a whole lot to me. He's just like, "Yeah, you can read it." You know, he was my cellmate. He's like, "You can read it."
So you had a Muslim cellmate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't for very long. It was just like maybe a 2 week period that he was my cellmate, and I read part of the Quran, and I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah. Did you see him observing Islam, like praying?
Or... I didn't. That's why I was saying I don't believe he was. Because he wasn't doing Salah or anything like that. Not that I saw, mm-hmm. you know. But he was, he introduced me to it. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
So what happened from there? You're reading the Quran now. You're in the, is this in the county jail or is it this?
Yeah, this is in the county jail.
Yeah.
And, but I didn't stick with the Quran. That's the whole thing. Like I was still, because I was more familiar with the Bible, you know. And I was reading the Bible and, you know, I actually met a gentleman later on that was taken because they would have certain, you know, faiths. They would have certain times where you could go, like they had, you know, for Muslims, they had certain time then they had. And I was trying to get into any class just to get, you know, they call them like classes or whatever.
Yeah.
Timeouts so you can get out of your pod. And I was taken up in every opportunity I got, but I never got to go to Islam. I never got to go to that, yeah, the class that they called it.
On Islam.
Yeah, of Islam, yeah. Yeah, and fast forward, about 11 months. I served like 11 months, and then I got out and, I did some traveling. I did some traveling to find work and to get away from people I needed to get away from. Inshallah, and I eventually got into a non-denominational church.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, I met a woman in my apartment building, and I met her in the hallway, and I introduced her to my, I said, hey, do you want to go to my church, you know? It's not a denominational church, and she's like, yeah, would you like to go to my masjid? And I was like, masjid, you know? And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm a Muslim. I said, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, I instantly thought of, you know, the gentleman that I was incarcerated with, and I said, yeah, I'm a little familiar with the Quran and this and that. And so she went to my church, I went to her masjid, and you know, from there I went there, and I was just like, wow, like I had gone to the I forgot what they had called it. They had like a Sunday like a Bible school, for lack of a better term, but it was on the Quran.
Yeah.
And they explained the Quran. We read out of the Quran. Now, we like eight or so of us, 10 or so of us, and the imam would go over, you know, what each ayat meant, and you know, it was very interesting. And I thought, yeah, wow, this all makes sense.
It started to make sense.
It started to make sense to me that, you know, monotheism is one
that really stuck out there.
Yes, yeah, that really stuck.
The monotheism. The yes. Monotheism.
Yes. Yeah. The monotheism is where it really hit me, because I always thought it was strange, you know, the Son of God, and why would God need a son? You know, why would God need a son? He doesn't depend on anybody. He doesn't depend on us. You know, we depend on Allah, you know. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of came down to me, like, wow, this really makes sense, and this is really where I belong. It didn't take long, you
know. After that,
yeah, to convert. It really didn't. You know, I was probably, you know, I converted, it was 2 years ago, January 1st. So it was January 1st, 2021.
What was it finally that did it for you?
What finally did
what
it for me?
What was the deciding factor? What was there something that now finally just, because you got so much stigma attached to Islam and, you know, so many obstacles and...
Yeah, I mean... It had a lot to do with the fellowship that meant a lot to me. But for more, for me, you know, people had told me, a lot of fellow Muslim brothers told me, and like I was told yesterday at the lecture too, you know, I'd heard that, you know, I was chosen. Like, I was chosen by Allah, I was chosen by God, you know, to be, you know, the Muslim faith, to be a Muslim.
Yeah.
And, you know, that meant a lot to me. Like, wow, I never looked at it that way before.
Yeah.
You know, I never looked at it that way. Like, I was actually chosen. And I'm not saying, I'm not boasting or anything like that, but it's, you know, it's, wow, it's got to be the highest honor of all honors to be chosen by Allah to, you know, because, you know, not so many people are that fortunate, let's just say, you know, I mean... But I think the lifestyle that I was living needed a drastic turn, mm-hmm. you know, and Allah works in mysterious ways. And it was very, you know, it was like, wow, this is, only Allah could do this. Only God could do this, you know.
Yeah. So then right after this first visit, then you visited, were you continuing to go to the masjid, or how were you, what did you, in that time, how much time after you went to your initial visit, the mosque, did it take for you finally, and what did it? What was it? Was it, we talked about the monotheism, anything else? Since some people it's
the monotheism.
Some people it's the, you know, all of the different evidence. There's so many different ways for different people. You know, people are fascinated, you know, with all of the things that the Quran talks about, you know, the scientific miracles, the signs, the prophecies. You
yes.
know, how could a man living in a desert know all of these things that the Quran mentioned?
Yes.
It's authenticity, it's preservation. There's so many which ways you can go.
Yeah, I mean, there. I have so many, like, reading the Quran, there was never a doubt in my mind that, you know, because people, I've interacted with people on, you know, like social media and things like that, and they're like, oh, that's the devil's book, this and that, and, you know, people try to turn you away, especially if they know you're converted,
yes.
you know, and what amazed me was, is that there's so many similarities between the Holy Bible and the Holy Quran. Like, there are so many similarities, like the Old Testament anyway, the Old Testament, and it was just like, wow, this is like, this is a lot. This could only be God. Like, there's no way, mm-hmm. you know, a human being just made this up and, you know, made it appear, yeah. you know, and they're like, you know, and people doubt it, just like people, you know, doubt a lot of things in life. But, I mean, there were many things that did make me convert, but the number one thing was the monotheism. That was the big thing for me.
Yeah, you talked about how you would go to church, and then, if you can share that with us, you'd be in church, and you always had this in your head, like, well, why is this attention being given more to Jesus than God?
Yes. In the church I was going to, yeah, the church, the non-denominational church, I'm sorry, when I would go there,
yeah.
you know, I was a musician there, and that's, you know, I'm not saying how that's how they got me in there, but it gained interest, me more interest, you know, playing bass and going up there, and I would write these lyrics that, you know, I believe came from God, you know, they did, yeah. And it was always uplifting and about my previous experiences yeah. and how I went down the wrong path and things like that. But, you know, I would always be like, praise God, you know, and then most of the people in that non-denominational church were always like, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. I'm just like, praise God. Like, they're, you know, like, I never understood it, because even if Jesus was the Son of God, which he is not, he's a prophet, like Muhammad, peace be upon him, even if he was, why would you give more attention to the Son of God than God? That just didn't make any sense to me at all. And furthermore, when I was reading the Quran, it's why would God need a son? He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't depend on anyone. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our prayers. You know, that's for me. That's for you personally, with God. You know, with Allah. And I always thought it was strange. You know. Strange might be, you know, a word that some people are like, why is he using the word strange? But to me, that's what I describe as seeing the gore hanging in the Catholic Church. And, you know, that's what I call it. It's the gore that, you know, and people would be like, oh, well, that's for you to remember him for what he did for you, you know. But I just, that never clicked with me. That just never clicked with me. It never made sense. And then, like I said, with the monotheism, where it's just one God only, not three, you know, yeah. not the Trinity, uh-huh. You know, and...
It made more sense.
It made more sense.
What about the crucifixion?
The crucifixion?
Mm-hmm.
Well...
The whole idea of someone dying for your sins.
Yeah.
How did you take to that? And now Islam talks about personal accountability. Nobody's dying for your sins.
Right.
You got to go directly to the one God.
That's right.
And seek forgiveness. And he's the all-loving, the most merciful, and he's the only one that can forgive your sins. Not
That's
a
right.
man in a confession box, not a prophet, a messenger, but only the one God.
That's right. And I totally agree with that. And that was another reason why, yeah, it's like, he died for your sins, but why would he need to bring another being, a son of God, down here when he could do everything? He doesn't need an intercessor, you know? He doesn't need that intercessor. But yes, I believe exactly what you said. I believe that, you know, we come directly to Allah and we submit. You know, we submit to him during Salah and we ask for forgiveness. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about it. When we pray, you know, we submit to him, you know. He's the most gracious, most merciful. Yes.
Have there been many challenges? Like when you hear certain things, certain people trying to persuade you that now you made the wrong decision, that you joined some kind of devilish cult or whatnot. How do you deal with that? Have you had many challenges like this?
I have had some challenges like that. Yeah, I have had some challenges like that. And, you know, Shaitan will work in your head too. He'll be like, you know, trying to distract you or try to keep you from being on the straight path, you know. He'll want you to go backwards, and that's happened, but, you know, I always have to just remember, and sometimes it's hard, you know, that you always have to submit yourself to Allah only, you know. And it's, you know, it's a day-to-day, it's a day-to-day thing. Like, people at work have, you know, have tried me, you know, where I've heard certain things. And, you know, in the past, I've heard, you know, people, oh, terrorist and this and that. And, you know, like we were talking yesterday about, you know, people, you know.
So you're not hiding. Like, you know, some people are a little timid, shy. People know your coworkers.
I mean, I don't just come up to people, but if I feel comfortable with someone and I talk to them, I let them know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I let them know. Yeah. Yeah. Inshallah. Because, you know, there's certain people that you know, in everyday life, you know, some people are going to be people. You know, they're going to be people. And, you know, I've had some people like kind of like, you know, like in hospitals or things that I've been in or, you know, and I get it, because if they're professionals, they don't, you know. But, you know, it's not something that I try not to worry about.
Yeah.
I try not to worry about it, you know, because God knows our intentions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So before we conclude, how's the journey been thus far? How's Islam been able to improve your life by implementing it? Have you seen some changes occurring? You know, there's a prescription of praying 5 times a day, prescription of, you know, developing yourself to a higher status of, well, sin, you know, there's that whole blueprint for life in Islam. The mm-hmm. more we do it, the more we start to see our character get better. We start to leave off a lot of the vices and other things. Have you started to see improvement with yourself and others by implementing Islam?
Yes, I have. I have seen improvement in myself, inshallah, and alhamdulillah for that. You know, I'm by no means perfect. You know, there's only one perfect being, and that, you know, that's Allah. And but, you know, one thing I could say is what really was really exciting for me was Ramadan.
Ramadan?
Like, Ramadan is like, so it's, you know, and it's uplifting, you know, when you fast. It's, there's nothing like it. Like, you feel energized.
Yeah.
You
really enjoyed Ramadan, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard, believe me. It was hard. The first Ramadan was actually, for some reason, I think that was the easiest Ramadan I've had. This is the third Ramadan that just passed for me. And the second one was, you know, a little more difficult.
You're living proof now as a new Muslim. Now, you went through already how many?
Three Ramadans, yes.
And you started right away, huh?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, because I started in January.
Like, how in the world am I going to do it? You're approved. You can do it.
I would literally freaked out when I found out I couldn't drink water. Like, no, I was just like, wow, like, really? Because I work in a kitchen, and it's hot. It's 100 and some degrees, you know, and you're constantly drinking water because you're dehydrated. And, you know, but, yeah, inshallah, I'm not going to say I was perfect, but, you know, God knows our intentions, and
you're striving your best.
And I, you know, one thing I learned about Ramadan that was really awesome was that you get this, you know, you get this mindset of people in countries or even, you know, the United States, that people don't have the luxury of water. People don't have luxury, especially in other countries. You know, they might have to walk.
Yeah.
They might have to walk a half a day to get water, to get food, to get drinking water that's actually drinkable. They don't have food. You know, people in the United States are so spoiled. They can go to Chick-fil-A. They can go to, you know, get all types of food anywhere at any time. There's food pantries everywhere, really, if you want it.
Yeah.
If you're homeless, you can survive, you know. You could easily survive. But that's the thing. Like, that was the big thing for me. Like, whenever I'd get weak or tired while I was fasting, you know, I try to keep that mindset that, man, there's people that go sometimes 2 days without eating, or 3 days, or who knows, or without water, or, you know, and people here are so spoiled. It's really sad, but, you know, it is what it is. We just, you know, and then I try to, I try to help out people that are in that situation as much as I can.
Yeah.
You know, I was gifted with cooking. That's what I do. That's what I do for a living, and I'm blessed by that, because I know during Ramadan I've been told that if you feed people, you know, even if you like break your fast, if you feed someone, that could be, you know,
tremendous rewarding.
Or a remedy for, right? Or maybe is that true? Like the, if you break your fast,
the reward of a fast, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And then you could feed someone, and then you get rewarded, you know, by that way. But yeah, it's so. I was blessed to have that skill, and I do have that skill. And even though I complain about it sometimes, you know, that it's not. But hey, I shouldn't be complaining, you know. Yeah. So I have to be humble and, you know, show some humility.
Before we conclude, what advice do you have for others who are in a similar situation? They might have been brought up in a certain religion. It could be Catholicism, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever the case. But they're seeing that just things don't make sense.
Yeah.
They're questioning. And now they watch some of our programs. They're maybe had some exposure to Islam, and they're seeing that Islam connects with the natural disposition of the human being, like this belief in one and only one God.
Yes.
But they're timid. They're scared because of all the pressures, societal and family.
Right.
What advice would you give them?
My advice would be to just take it upon yourself and find your local masjid. You know, maybe. Or go online, and you know, there's plenty of information. I'm sure you have a lot of information on the Dean
website. Show.
Yeah, the Dean Show. I'm sure you have plenty of information on there too. And if there's something they can't find on your website, then they just need to look it up. You know, how to do Salat. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there. You just got to be, you know, just like anything else, you got to investigate and see what's, you know. But my advice would be to go to your masjid.
Connect with some Muslims.
Yeah, connect with some
local
Muslims.
Make a human connection.
Exactly, make a human connection. That way, you're getting the real deal, and you know, Juma is an awesome experience. Every Friday, I'm just blessed every Friday to go. You know, inshallah, because.
So you were telling me you made that a priority now, the Juma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, every Friday.
Look forward to that, huh?
Yes, inshallah. Yeah, I do. I look forward to it, and it keeps me on the straight path, you know, and the fellowship with the Muslim brothers is awesome. You know, it's cool. They got your back, man. We're all connected. We all got something in common, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I got plenty of phone numbers where I can call up somebody, and, you know, and someone's always, you know, looking to help out, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, awesome. And for people hearing this term the first time, Muslim, I just want to make that note that you're just doing what Jesus did, you're doing what Moses did, you're doing what all the prophets of Allah did, of God did. You're submitting your will, yes. not to a human being, but to the creator of human beings, God Almighty Allah. That's amen. What a Muslim is.
Yes, amen. Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing some highlights.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yes. Allah, the creator, continue to bless you and make your way easy.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Same to you. In this life and the hereafter.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Salam.
Alaikum salam.
Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. This is your brother Hassan Shibli, and I'm so excited, so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be standing right here at the Dean Center that is being established in Tampa by brother Eddie from the Dean Show. We are so excited that he's chosen Tampa to be this hub and center for dawah, not just locally, alhamdulillah, where we can host seminars, programs, dawah activities. There's enough space for a school, gymnasium, musalla, and as students. Studio that can inshallah reach people globally to share the beauty of Islam. We're so excited to have this established here locally in Tampa, and I want to encourage you all, do what you can to help complete this project and make it a reality. And I invite you all to join me in supporting the center. May Allah make it a sadaqah jariyah for all of us to share the beauty of the deen with all humanity. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.